You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Your friends have been raving about the latest and greatest eatery in your neighborhood. The food blogs have been all over it. The reservations are being taken weeks in advance, so you place yours weeks in advance. But when that night finally comes and you enter the restaurant, you find yourself blown over by a decibel level somewhere in the upper 90s. You can't hear your waiter, can't hear anyone else at your table, so normal conversation is completely futile. New York Magazine restaurant critic Adam Platt says that it's the new norm. His article, I Can't Hear Myself Eat, appeared in the July 22nd issue of the magazine. I'm very pleased that it brings him back to our show today. Hello.
How are you, sir?
Now, last time you were here, it was to talk about restaurant trends. Is this one of the trends we should be paying attention to?
Well, this trend has been going on for a long time. This is sort of a slow, there are all sorts of restaurant trends in New York. They're sort of the fast-moving ones that sort of move through the landscape like wildfire.
I mean, like foraging is just...
Foraging or, I don't know, I mean, there's billions of them, you know, fancy bread baskets, whatever. You know, the chefs are always coming up with new ideas and things like that. But the loud restaurant trend is a slow-moving anthropological phenomenon. And it really began, I think, it began about 15 years ago. The real story of restaurants in New York and really sort of around the country is that 15 years ago, you had the restaurant scene was dominated by sort of what you call the front of the house culture. You had, you went to a restaurant, you had this, you know, tall gentleman in a tuxedo who whispered, you know, in a strange European accent, hello, and brought you in this sort of hushed sort of environment to your table, which was covered with linen, and everything was sort of played off that. The kitchen was in the back. You didn't see it. You didn't see the chefs. Some of the chefs were well-known, but mostly you were focused on this world.
And in fancy restaurants, the tables were spaced far apart.
Far apart. It was polite to be hushed. Diners pretty much were told what to do. They sort of sat there. Anyway, so about 15 years ago, you had...
And men had to wear jackets.
Men had to wear jackets. Women wore whatever. Nice clothes, and again, the chefs, the kitchen culture was sort of cosseted off in the back. What happened about 15 years ago, maybe longer, is that you had this new generation of chefs which said basically, you know, the hell with that. We are taking the chef's culture, the kitchen culture, and we are bringing it to the forefront. And so you had this whole variety of things happen. Mario Batali, who was sort of one of the Pied Pipers of this movement, decided it would be a good idea to serve his customers the kind of sort of offal sauces and chops that the kind of food really that chefs like to eat. He decided to play the loud music, the Zeppelin, Pixies, the stuff he liked, over the heads of his really quite fancy dining room at a restaurant called Babbo in the Village, and it created this atmosphere. It created this energy, which people began to copy. So they copied it. And gradually, even more than you had the ingredient craze. Now, chefs are focused on ingredients. That's what they like. Tom Colicchio opened Kraft, which was really a restaurant devoted to the kinds of things that chefs are obsessed about, like the specificity of ingredients, the technique, not a lot of fancy sauces. If you go to Kraft, you still go to it. There's no tablecloths, minimum of fuss, not a giant... You know, nobody's meeting you at the front door in this sort of hushed. It's really a chef's world. And so that's what's happened. So you've had this kitchen culture, which has come to the fore. And with that, you've had a lot of noise. The tablecloths are gone. The rugs are gone. The hushed sensibility of the old French sommelier, it's basically gone. You still have restaurants like this in New York, but all the new ones that are opening up are all doing this. And then what you had was the great sort of crash of 2008, where rooms got smaller, people wanted to serve drinks, and you had this cacophony of sort of a bar, little bar restaurant.
Now, you forgot to mention ceramic tiles, floors, tin ceilings,
right?
But they all add to this. But when you speak to most people about this change, they say it's because young people like a louder environment to eat in.
That's a fair point.
On the other hand, the Zagat people say that the most inquiries they have are, how loud is the restaurant? Because people are concerned.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I would define young people in a different way than other. But, you know, I think it's a the thing is that it affects everybody, because really in a lot of these restaurants, you can't hear yourself think now. And if you're in there a lot, like somebody like me, you're in restaurants a lot, too. It begins to affect you, and you find yourself hunching forward and cupping your hands behind your ears and sort of blinking like a, you know, so it creates an environment which I think young people like the party environment, party atmosphere, but if they're exposed to it again and again, I think they begin to become a little fed up with it.
Well, there are a couple of things. If the music is cranked up real loud, then you have to talk even louder to be heard. Mm-hmm. So that adds to the loudness.
Yeah, then you get drunk.
And
that
they
adds
say,
the loudness.
And they also say that loudness and fast music lead people to drink more and faster.
Well, which is probably part of the reason that it's done. Anyway, I don't want to sound like an old crank on this, because a lot of these restaurants are excellent. I say this in my piece. A lot of these excellent, you know, the sort of seminal restaurants of our time, the David Chang's restaurant. I mean, I just had lunch at the Momofuku Noodle Bar, and it was relatively quiet, but at the peak time of lunch hour, it was really like trying to eat your lunch inside a wooden Kleenex box. I mean, it was just the noise just reverberated.
I read of a study that people chewed faster when tempos were sped up. When the bar's music was 72 decibels, people ordered an average of 2.6 drinks and took 14 and a half minutes to finish one. When the volume was turned up to 88 decibels, customers ordered an average of 3.4 drinks and took 11 and a half minutes to finish each one.
Hmm.
So there's actually a business reason here, but I wonder about the wait staff when some of these restaurants have decibel levels that reach 100. That's more than the C train. The C train is 84 levels. Normal conversation, I would think the conversation we're having is 60 to 65 decibels. 100 decibels, 95 decibels, the kind of thing you're seeing at Lavo and Beaumarchais and Carbone and a few of the other restaurants.
Yeah.
They run 96 to 100 and
yeah.
so.
And I think that's probably, again, I mean, I think if you're exposed to that over a long period of time, I think it can damage your hearing. So I, you know, it's an issue. And you have restaurant critics who are talking about it more and more. You know, I have colleagues who carry noise meters with them and make notations as to how loud it is and when to go to have the most optimum time to talk to your guest, when not to go, et cetera. So, you know, it's an issue that everybody talks about, and I'm sure the wait staff talk about it also, because, you know, I also say this in the story, it doesn't show any signs of going away anytime soon.
Well, it can actually affect your hearing and also affect stress levels, but doesn't the noise help give the restaurant a feeling that it's popular and bustling?
Yeah, like, you know, it creates... I think the idea, and it's a good idea, because don't get me wrong, these restaurants are a lot of fun. The idea is to create a party atmosphere, and the easiest way to do that is to serve drinks in a small, loud space, and that's what's happening. And you have a generation of not just the chefs, not just Bataille, you have a generation of restaurateurs who are doing that, and they like the small spaces because they're cheaper to maintain, the rents aren't as high, and they can create this sense that, you know, a party is happening here.
And often in these small restaurants, in the past, those fancy restaurants would have a little bar where you might sit while you waited to be seated. And now a lot of these restaurants are long bars and fewer tables. In fact, a lot of people are eating at the bar.
Yeah, it's really a bar culture. And you have the whole mixology culture. You have... you know, the drinks, which people, if you're the sophisticated diner these days, will go to these restaurants. They'll sit at the bar, and they will, in many times, pay as much attention to the drinks, which are fabulous. Actually, we live in the golden age of the sort of cocktail, at least the retro cocktail. And you know, they'll spend a lot of time boozing, and the food is actually also more and more casual, more and more easy to eat. Not, you don't spend a lot of time fussing over the food. So, I mean, you really have a sort of perfect storm where it's getting louder and louder.
My guest is Adam Platt, restaurant critic at New York Magazine. His article, I Can't Hear Myself Eat, appeared in the July 22nd issue of New York Magazine. One caller wonders if this is just an American thing.
I don't know. I would, you know what? I would just.
I Googled it, by the way.
Oh, did you? What did you find out?
They said loud restaurants London, yeah. Loud restaurants Paris.
New York's the center of the world. They all copy what we do. You know, in Norway and Sweden, as you know, in New York, one of the new trends is sort of Scandinavian food, foraged. Noma is the famous restaurant. But when you go to these places, to Norway and Sweden, it's Brooklyn that they talk about. It's mm-hmm. That's the culture they try and replicate. So I assume these restaurants are also noisy too. And I assume I've seen the rooms. The rooms are all the same as what I've been talking about. They're unadorned. There's the bar. There's the beautiful drinks program. There's the simple food, and there's the party.
The New York Times measured noise levels at 37 restaurants, bars, stores, and gyms across the city, and found levels that experts said bordered on dangerous at one-third of them.
That's not good.
And one of the things that is interesting about this development is if you work in another kind of place where the decibel levels are this high in the upper 90s, you're supposed to wear earphones.
I know.
But we as like diners and the servers don't, and nobody has complained to OSHA about this, despite the fact that it really is obviously breaking the law.
Yeah, it's been written about. I mean, I've seen critics write about it. But, you know, pretty soon we will be walking around. Not pretty soon. You could see a day where we're – well, first of all, you and I live here. New York is a noise pit anyways. I mean, it's very hard to escape noise in New York, especially Manhattan. It used to be that restaurants were an oasis, a sort of an escape from this. They're not anymore. Although, you know, I say in my story that there are restaurants where still silence is something that is prized. If you go to a Japanese restaurant, for instance, a omakase sushi bar, people will sit in sort of hushed, prayerful, blissful silence, actually nibbling on their sushi. The grand old restaurants that still survive. You know, per se, it's not a grand old restaurant, but per se, it's a very quiet, almost funereal restaurant. Le Bernardin is quite quiet, although to my chagrin, a couple of years ago, they renovated the place and they added a sort of a bouncy soundtrack. But there are still places where you can go where everything's quiet and you can have this long, peaceful meal. As a critic, however, I don't go to them much because they virtually are never opening anymore. The restaurants that now that open are the ones that we're talking about.
We have a number of people who have written in. Linda on the Jersey Shore left this comment. There have been two times, she says, in her life where she's been in a restaurant that's so loud it has and had terrible music playing. Now, this is another thing. Okay, it's loud and you don't like the music either.
Yeah, well, that's,
and she says it's literally made her sick to her stomach. Once it was a coffee house atmosphere that had two guys on guitar playing and they were bad, but I wondered if it was a repetition of the notes being played that made her sick.
This is live music? You never want to eat in a place where there's live music. That is a cardinal
sin. Well, there used
sin.
To be a cocktail lounge with a piano player.
Okay.
George in Brooklyn says, I've been in some supposedly great restaurants recently, and frankly, it was a terrible, demeaning experience because of the noise. At this point, the chefs, restaurateurs can't claim ignorance. They're manipulating their customers, and the solution is better interior design. As an architect, I'm constantly amazed at how little thought is given by designers or clients to acoustics.
Yeah, this is also true. I mean, there's a whole, as you know, and I'm sure, there's a whole noise. The baffling of noise and the muffling of noise is something that restaurants classically have paid a lot of attention to. I think part of the reason they don't anymore is because it's expensive. And part of it is they want to create this atmosphere, but part of it is they just don't. They're not bothered. They don't want to. It's just too expensive.
Have you ever complained to someone on the wait staff about the music? Say, could you turn it down a little bit?
Sure.
And what's happened?
They've turned it down.
They have.
Not for you, I gather, though.
I had an experience where I asked in a near empty restaurant because it was snowing that day. I asked them to turn it down, and they wouldn't do it because they were partying. I was just a superfluous part of the whole experience.
You know what I do? I will ask them to turn it down sometimes. But of course, I'm inured to it. I like these restaurants. I have fun. I'm inured. You know, it's like what I will do is I will ask one of my guests to ask them because I don't want to appear to be an old fuss budget. Which is what I am. But I'll say, could you please ask them? It's also a test. Like, they'll keep asking him again and again and again. It doesn't really make much difference.
Well, since you're often spotted, they, I'm sure many
you're right.
Restaurants know who you are, they're going to respond to you in a way
True.
Differently than if somebody who's never come into the restaurant before yeah. and never will again.
That's true. Say like you. It's true.
But your sense is this is a trend that is not going to abate?
My sense is it's not going to abate anytime soon. I mean, especially in Manhattan, where the economic forces are really driving the, I mean, the real estate is so expensive that it's just size is at a premium, and you know, I don't see it. It also, the style, you know, I don't see the styles changing anytime soon. Ironically, you know, if you go out to Brooklyn, you can eat in a relatively sense of sort of peace and quiet. Where Manhattan is cacophonic, but the sort of smaller neighborhood joints in Brooklyn tend to be a little quieter, strangely enough.
Although the small places that want a quick turnover often play music that right. is not only loud but rather fast.
Right.
And actually, we do eat faster when the tempo of the soundtrack is faster.
Well, certainly I do, I'm sure.
You
in
do?
And out. Of course, the other thing is I always eat early. Part of that is habit. It's easier to get a table early, get home sooner. But I talked about noise in this piece, but I don't have to talk about it in the reviews, partly because I eat early, and it's, you know, I'm inured to it, and it's not really that loud.
Then crank it up later.
If you eat at 5:30, you'll be fine.
Well, have you eaten at places like Lavo and Beaumarchais, and there's the Beer Garden at the Standard, there's Brooklyn Star in Williamsburg, where the Spotted Pig, the decibel levels are nearing 100?
I have eaten at the Spotted Pig. The decibel levels are very loud. The sister restaurants, the Spotted Pig, is the Breslin. The decibel levels are really loud. So there are various masters of this sort of genre of restaurant. The people who run the Spotted Pig are one of them. There's a restaurateur, a very good restaurateur named Gabe Stuhlman, who operates a series of tiny cacophonic bar restaurants in the Village. All of his restaurants, I think he's got four or five now, they're excellent, very good. They're really bars that serve good food, and they're just very noisy. And, you know, his style is copied because it's successful. So I don't, you know, I really don't see it coming back. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons that I don't see it coming back.
So we should start bringing our own earplugs.
Yeah,
or
get
complaining
those
to OSHA.
Those things that the airplane mechanics wear when they're out, that I think that's what you do, where you just hum to yourself quietly.
And forget about talking to your
companion. Food's good, though, and your drink. Drinking is good. Drink and be merry.
Adam Platt's the article we've been discussing is I Can't Hear Myself Eat. It was in the July 22nd issue of New York Magazine. Thank you so much for being on our show
again. Thank you, sir.